The Pop Goes the Culture podcast is intended for mature audiences. Remember that if you're listening through speakers or with kids in the car. Don't say we didn't warn you. Welcome to the Pop Goes the Culture podcast for Friday, May the 10th. Happy Mother's Day weekend to all the moms out there listening. This is your mother's favorite podcast, by the way. My name is Joey Mills. I'll be your host throughout the month of May. We are still not recording new episodes as a group this month, but we are meeting every week to plan out the rest of our 2024 episodes, beginning with when we return in June. We got some good stuff planned for you all. In the meantime, we are working through a backlog of some Q&As with celebrity guests from a bunch of different Comic Cons and Anime Fest from the first few months of 2024. Today we are going back to Columbus, Georgia for last month's Georgia Comic Con, the first time we've ever held a live event in Columbus. It was a fantastic weekend. Looking forward to doing it again in 2025. The folks there were great to us. It's going to be a lot of fun. This week, we are visiting with actor Ross Marquand. Ross was Aaron in The Walking Dead. He replaced Hugo Weaving as Red Skull in Avengers Infinity War and Avengers Endgame, two of the biggest movies of all time. And he's absolutely been killing it as Professor Charles Xavier in X-Men 97, currently airing over on Disney+, along with tons of other work he's done over the years. Enjoy our time with Ross, and be sure to check back every Friday in May as we drop a few more big-name guests, and actually we have some group of guests together. So check that out throughout the month of May. Have a happy Mother's Day weekend. Be sure to call your mama. And until next time, be safe, be healthy, and be happy. We will talk to you guys later. See ya.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Delicious things to eat.
The popcorn can't be beat.
The sparkling drinks are just dandy. The chocolate bars and the candy. So let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Oh yeah, Amber's
Hello
on
everyone.
It.
How is everyone? We doing well? This is a very bright room.
It is, isn't it? Bright.
What's going on, Cleveland? Wait, am I
We're in Georgia.
Georgia, yeah.
Welcome
yeah.
to Georgia. Have you ever been to Georgia before?
I lived here for 8 years.
No, really?
Yeah. But I never came to Columbus, surprisingly. I don't know why I never passed through.
It's just a jog down from Atlanta.
Yeah, it's only 2 hours from...
Not even that.
Yeah. So,
Right on.
Everyone having a good day?
Excellent.
Cool. Good. One piece? Nice.
Absolutely. Nice.
Cool. Demon Slayer? Yes.
You're so much better at this than I am. Nice. So this is a Q&A. We're kind of a small but mighty group here, so you guys can fill. If you want to scoot up so you can hear, that's fine. If you want to stay back where you are, that's fine, too. You can use this microphone if you guys have questions. You don't have to. You can absolutely just raise your hand or kind of wave and get our attention, whatever you want to do. We're going to spend a little bit of time together. We'd like to answer as many of your questions as we can in the short time we do have, and then we'll get Ross back down to the table so you can sign some more autographs and photos and all the fun stuff. I've got to ask this. So you've been doing the convention scene for a while now.
Yeah.
And I'm only going to ask this because I kind of know the answer. That's how good MCs do. They already know the answer to the question. As a convention person, you're just like, okay, we're traveling. We know how this works. This is what I do. I think maybe you do something similar. Do you have the outfit that you're like, okay, I don't have to think about it. This is my Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's in your closet or it's in the drawer. You know where it is. It's like, all right, throw it in the bag.
I mean, I've been on the road for the last 5 weeks. And usually I've been like overseas, you know,
right.
And I have this backpack and a little duffel bag, and basically I just do my laundry once a week.
Yeah.
And it's these shoes, these pants,
and you don't have to think about it.
Yeah, and then like five or six different T-shirts and a jacket. And
yeah.
So you probably see a lot of photos of me wearing the same damn thing.
And, yeah.
And that's why. Because, you know, also I don't like buying new clothes just for the sake of buying new clothes. I think it's wasteful. And, yeah. And plus, who doesn't love Roddy Piper
exactly.
And they live, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, yeah.
So you're as big a dork as we are,
yes.
The rest of us. And you actually, before, let's go way, way back. I don't even know if it's the right way to say that you got into the industry, but one of the early experiences you have is just doing impressions for your friends, right? Talk to us a little bit about doing that. Have you ever done an impression of a person on purpose or accidentally in front of that person?
Yeah.
Kind of talk us through that part of it, because I know that was pretty formative early on for you, especially as you got into voice acting.
Yeah, so. I mean, it started in Boy Scouts, ironically. I used to make fun of certain scout masters at the campfire ceremonies, and I would try to do little voice. It was, I hadn't even gone through puberty, so it probably wasn't very accurate, but I would try to get the mannerisms down, and it just kind of went from there. And then, in answer to your other question, I did an episode, not an episode, it was this TV movie for HBO called Clear History, and it was John Hamm, Larry David from Curb Your Enthusiasm, and Michael Keaton, a bunch of other people. And Michael Keaton was not available for his voiceover, so they knew I did his voice match. So I got called in, and, you know, he's basically being Beetlejuice the whole time. He's
yeah.
Come on, what are you going to do here? Come on. You know, and Larry was sitting like where you are, and he's laughing the whole time, and the engineer is like, hey, Larry, you got to stop laughing. You're ruining the takes. He's like, I'm sorry. It sounds just like him. It's weird. And then he's like, who else you do? And I did, like, Brad Pitt and a few other people. And then the engineer goes, do Larry. And I was like, oh, no. I'm good. Because I've learned in the past, like, you just don't do the person in front of them because they might not take it well. And I did it for him. And Larry just kind of leaned back in his chair. And he's like, it's not your best. And I was like, all right, cool. That's fun. And he's right. But I did it for Matthew McConaughey years ago, like 10 years ago. It was at a Television Critics Choice Award thing. He just won for True Detective. Mm-hmm. And my buddy, who's just, I love him to death, but he's kind of an idiot. He just is always trying to pimp me out, you know.
Yeah.
And he's like, do your impression for him. I was like, I'm not going to do it for McConaughey. What do you think?
Everybody's got a McConaughey.
Of course.
On,
he's heard them all. He's like, he's heard it all. And he's like, hey, man, my buddy does your voice. He's like, oh, yeah? Let's hear it, man. And I was like, well, here's the thing about life. You know, we go up and down all around this thing. We don't know what we're doing here. And it's pretty wild, man. And he was like, that's good. That's all right. And I was like, this is the weirdest moment of my life. Yeah. So, you know, sometimes they take it well, like McConaughey did, but sometimes people don't take it so well. So that's why I don't make it a rule not to do it in front of people. Yeah.
Right.
How you doing?
All right, let's get some questions. Hey, what is your name? And Nigel, what's your question?
Dragon Ball, nice.
What's that? Whose mic's not on?
There we go. All right. So my name is Nigel. I want to ask, how would you describe how you started getting into acting, and what advice could you give to other people who are also wanting to start acting as well?
It's the hardest industry to break into, but it's also one of the most fun industries to break into, I'd say. You know, the great news is I'll start with the bad news. Bad news is there's never been more competition ever,
right?
Because everyone and their mother wants to be an actor there. They're doing clips on Instagram, YouTube, you name it. But the good news is there's never been a better way to get your stuff out there, right? So you think about, like, Justin Bieber. Why do we know who Justin Bieber is? Because of YouTube, you know? And why do we know about the next big thing? TikTok, Instagram, all these social media accounts. Like, I just feel like there's never been a better chance for a person just starting out to get your stuff out there, you know? So I would just say consistently put out good quality content, and again, it's about consistency and quality. And as long as you keep doing that over and over again, eventually people will take notice. And the only reason why I got on The Walking Dead, truly, I auditioned for it 3 different times, but the last time I got called in, I was like ready to. I was fully done acting. I'd given up. I was like, it's not going to happen for me. I get it. It's like a. I looked at the universe. I was like, I get it. It's not going to happen. It's cool. It's been 15 years. I have $120,000 of debt. I'm screwed. You know, like, it ain't going to happen, you know? And then I hadn't had an audition with my agency for almost a year. Wow. And they called me up and they were like, "Hey, we got this audition for you for The Walking Dead." I was like, "Oh, you know what? Thank you, but I'm good. I'm out. You know, I don't want to have another rejection under my belt to like remind me of
all the other ones."
Exactly. Yeah. And they were like, "No. We worked really hard to get you this." And I was like, "All right, I'll go, I guess." And the main reason why I learned this later. The main reason why the showrunner decided to cast me was because he liked my impression stuff that he saw on YouTube years earlier. Mm-hmm. And he thought Aaron initially was going to be much more funny. They didn't really write that for him, but they were going to have him like writing a bunch of like quippy little jokes and be like more sassy. And they just thought I'd be good for that because of my impression stuff. So you never know what's going to stick in people's minds is what my point. So just be consistent, put out good quality stuff, and eventually I think people will take notice.
Yeah.
And good luck. I appreciate it, man.
Of course. Good luck to you. Good luck to you.
Hello.
Arrow.
No. Actually, BBC Robin Hood.
Oh, okay. My bad.
Jonas Armstrong.
Yeah. Gotcha. Sorry.
No. My name's Andrew. So I understand that you said you do a Michael Keaton. Can you do like a imitation of Batman?
Sure.
Isn't it just Michael Keaton?
I mean, like, he's a much more subtle Beetlejuice, I guess. Yeah. He's like, "Hey, come on. What are you talking about here?"
Right.
I don't know.
the other thing I was going to ask was, like, obviously the whole Endgame thing. So, like, what was that like? I mean, you're working with like Chris Evans and Robert Downey Jr. I mean, like, what was that like?
To be honest, I never met them.
I was going to say they weren't in the booth with you.
Well, the funny thing is, they, you know, half of Hollywood's in those two movies, right?
You're working with Scarlett Johansson.
Never met them either. Yeah. The funny thing is, they had shot their portion 6 months earlier, and they were very much hoping that Hugo Weaving, who did the part in the first Avenger, Captain America First Avenger, was going to come back to the role, and I guess they couldn't figure it out. Negotiations fell through. But they were hoping he was going to come back.
Yeah.
But the thing is, with a lot of those movies, you'll see people in the same scene that were never in the same room together.
Oh.
So I think even on, not Vormir, what's Titan, Planet Titan?
Yeah.
You know, the scene where Thanos comes and is like,
This
used to be my planet, and, you know, all this. A few of them were not there at the same time because of different production schedules. You know, Josh was working on Deadpool 2, I think. You know, so, like, everyone and their mother has different schedules.
Okay.
But because of the magic of, you know, Hollywood. CGI and those motion capture outfits that me and Thanos and Hulk and a few other people had, they can take all the data from these suits and plug you into the scene, right?
Make it look like you're talking to someone. That
exactly. And for me, like the Thanos and the Gamora that I worked with, they were stand-ins, essentially, for Josh and Zoe, and then Scarlett and Jeremy, too. Same guys.
Oh, wow.
They just, the same guy played, Thanos played Hawkeye, but the Thanos eye line was much higher because he's obviously much taller.
Yeah.
So they had this rig, like this pole sticking out of the back of his shirt with a head that was like way up here.
Yeah.
So that I would know to look up there as opposed to down here, you know.
Okay.
So yeah, it was pretty wild.
Thanks.
Of course, yeah. Oh, how you doing, bud?
Hey, what's your name?
It's Ethan.
Ethan, what's your question, bud?
I actually have two of them.
Yeah, go ahead.
Cool. This is going to go way back to Boy Scouts.
Okay. Cool.
So my first question is, what was the highest rank you had in Boy Scouts?
I was an Eagle Scout.
Yep. You got Eagle? Nice.
Tell them what your project was.
Yes, I'm in Boy
Scouts.
Nice. Tell them what your Eagle Scout project was.
I like that. Pretty cool.
You did your research. Okay.
Please.
Okay. There was a school not far from where I grew up that was kind of not debilitated. It needed some repairs, basically. So me and the troop went in there for a weekend, and we spackled all the walls. We painted it up real nice, put up some murals and everything, and just like kind of beautified the school and made it functional again, you know. So that's what we did.
I think that the Eagle Scout program is the most fantastic.
Oh, it's awesome.
Like, teaching
awesome
young men to like, hey, take care of your community.
Yeah.
Pick a project, find it.
Exactly.
So continue on.
And then what was the best like memory or moment that you had in scouting?
Ooh. Well, the Jamboree.
I've been to the recent one.
Fort AP Hill, or?
It was up there in West Virginia.
Yeah, I think Fort AP Hill, yeah.
It was.
Unless it's moved, but that was just the coolest thing to meet scouts from literally all over the country and talk about scouting and camping. And I think survival skills, is so important, especially nowadays. Like, we don't know when the proverbial shit is going to hit the fan, so...
Or literal.
Yeah, yeah, true. So it might not be a bad idea for all of us to learn some of those survival skills. And I always tell people, like, even if you're not interested in scouting, get the Boy Scout Handbook, because that book can save your life potentially. Like, learning how to do knots and tourniquets and look, you know, even just a simple thing is like, oh, this plant is okay to eat, and this plant will kill you. You know, like, that stuff is all in the handbook. It's great. It's, yeah. I literally have it by my bedside. I'm not even kidding you. Like, that is one of the few books I have by my bedside that every once in a while I'll just leaf through. I'll be like, oh, yeah, huh. I forgot. The bowline knot. I forget how to tie that. Like, I was really good at tying the bowline knot, you know, but, yeah.
And actually, since you're talking about the knots, do you know remember the five basic ones?
Well, sheep shank, bowline, I think, is one of them, right?
It was bowline, yeah.
Sheep shank. Square knot's a good one, too, yeah. Slip knot?
The band?
Yeah. What are the other ones?
It was the taut line and the two half hitches.
There you go. Oh, the and half hitch,
it
yeah.
Was not a
well, clove hitch is one of them too, right?
No. That's not the five basic.
Okay, gotcha.
But
gotcha,
it's
gotcha.
Part of doing the either the tenderfoot or gotcha. Second class.
You'll have to. It was 30 years ago for me. It was a long time. what rank are you now?
I'm star.
Dude, that's great. So you're trying to get to life pretty soon here?
Yes.
That's great. That's great.
I actually need to do two more mirror badges left.
Okay. Damn. Nicely done. I said no. Well, congrats.
All right. Thank
stick
you.
With
good
it,
luck to you. Yeah. Stick with it. Yeah. The Nightwing.
Yep.
Nice. Oh, that's cool. With two lightsabers, no less.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Whoa. Yeah. Okay. This is a.
It's
wow.
A lot of fun.
It's awesome. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm Jordan, by the way.
Hey, Jordan.
So with your experience with Boy Scouts and with zombies,
did you realize this was going to be a Boy Scout?
Yeah, like, damn. Okay. Yeah. Wow.
I apologize.
Do you think you could set up a bunch of like booby traps, Home Alone style, if the zombie apocalypse happened?
Absolutely.
And how would you do it?
That's a great question, and also, why didn't The Walking Dead rely more on booby traps?
Right.
I was watching. I was going to bed last night, and as I often do, because it's the only time I really watch TV, I turned on the TV at the hotel, and Predator was on, which is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Yeah, right.
And they showed the web, you know, yeah. trap that they tried to catch the Predator in the first time, and I was like, why didn't we do that on
right?
the show? Because zombies are so dumb and so predictable.
Yeah, and they're walkers.
All you need is a sound source. They'll go towards the sound.
Right.
I mean, like, it was really kind of dumb that we didn't rely more on that. We should have built a moat around Alexandria. That would have been easiest thing in the world
like
to do.
Spikes
all
in
we
it?
Had to do is build
acid.
A... What's that?
A moat of acid.
Yeah, a moat of acid. Easy. There you go. Yeah, yeah.
Easy.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so, yeah.
And one more question, if that's
okay.
cool.
Yeah,
how many walkers do you think you could take on?
Like, I at mean, the same time, or, like,
like
in
okay,
succession?
So say you have, like, chainmail on, so they can't bite you, but you're like, oh, I got to get out of this room. How many zombies do you think you could get through?
I mean, all of them. I mean, if you think about it, listen, I've got a mace for an arm, you
I
know?
Mean,
all I got to do is hold it out and spin around. I'm good. Like, you know, that thing was lethal, you know? Like, I really,
yeah.
there was a metal version of it, and there was a rubber version.
Yeah.
And the metal one I used to, like, break doors and windows and inanimate objects. And that thing was like 15 pounds, you know, it was a significant amount of weight. And that thing could literally kill somebody. If you get that with enough force, you're not coming back from that. You know what I mean? Like, so any walker or human that I needed to take out with that thing, anybody with any amount of force or momentum could do fine with that weapon. So, yeah.
So it would be your Hulk smash is what
yeah.
you're saying.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay.
Hulk smash, exactly.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah.
A good All right, point. I appreciate
yeah,
it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Hello.
Good to see you again.
Come on up.
It's good to see you too, Ross. How are you guys doing today?
Good. Great.
My question is, what parts did you enjoy filming in The Walking Dead?
Which parts?
Like what parts?
Like what scenes? Or?
Like scenes or?
I loved a lot of them, but I think from the last season, the Russian roulette episode with Father Gabriel and Robert Patrick from The Terminator was one of the best episodes I ever shot. And then the Renaissance Fair episode with Jerry and Lydia and Elijah. That was so much fun because that's a real Renaissance Fair 2 hours up the road from here.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to go to that for fun before I was really involved on the show. And I used to like go there every year and have, you know, mead and churros.
Swing a turkey leg around.
Yeah, exactly. So like, I used to go there with my friends and Cooper went there too before the show too.
Really?
And, it was just awesome. Like, it was a great experience, though, yeah.
Nice. Also, do you think Aaron will ever find a new, will finally get someone?
They alluded to that. It's funny, they had a line in the finale about that, that I had like a new admirer or whatever.
Nice.
And then they cut the line, I don't know why, but maybe for time, I don't know. But they alluded to it, and I was like, oh, neat. And then that's all.
And then there was nothing after
that. And then nothing after that, yeah. So we'll see what happens. I mean, like, I think I told you earlier, but, like, they're going to see what happens with the spinoffs.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
If those do well, they might make more spinoffs after that. So
yeah.
We're keeping our fingers crossed that, like, characters like me and King Ezekiel and Jerry and mm-hmm. Father Gabriel can come back and have some new life, because I feel like we still have a lot of story to tell, you know?
Absolutely.
So. Yeah, and I like how it's not like in the comics. There was like I read the comics, and like Ezekiel died in the Whisperer War,
yeah.
especially in the Whisperer War, like Rosita and a few other things. So I like how they changed that up, so I didn't know what's happening.
Yeah,
so that's why.
I mean, honestly, your guess is as good as mine. They haven't told me anything, unfortunately. So
yeah, because now this is uncharted territory for me. I don't know what's going to happen either.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, we all, none of us do really.
And finally, Rick finally lost his arm. Finally.
Yeah, well, don't tell everyone.
Spoilers.
Oh, wait, sorry.
Not everybody's watching.
Shoot, I am so, wow, that is terrible.
That,
I like
that, yeah, that's better, actually nice. That's nice, yeah. Oh.
Okay,
oh,
maybe not that.
My bad. Sorry.
Someone did say this place was haunted, so.
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe it's doing that because of spoilers. I don't know.
Yeah, I think so.
AMC's like, shh.
Yeah. Sorry, okay, man. That was a drink. Sorry.
My bad. Right, exactly. Yeah. I really don't know, actually, but yeah. So.
Do you think he'll actually, also one other thing, sorry.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
Do you think he'll come back as Red Skull?
I can't say.
Okay. Cool. All right.
I don't know.
That's
we'll
good.
See. We will see. As Ultron says in What If, anything is possible in the multiverse. So
agree. I don't believe he's dead.
Yeah.
So.
Well, he's not.
Yeah.
I mean, now that he's free of the Soul Stone, especially on certain timelines, he can. The writers said he can kind of go anywhere. He can fly now.
Nice.
So what other powers does he have? You know, I imagine he's a much stronger version of Red Skull than we've ever seen.
I can't
wait. Yeah, I'm excited. Yeah.
All right. Thank you, man.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Hello.
Hi. Speaking of Marvel, what is your favorite Marvel project that you've worked on?
Only for sentimental reasons, I'd say X-Men 97.
Right.
Because that was the show that I watched as a kid mm-hmm. when I was 10 or 11 when it first came on that like made me want to be an actor. So to get a chance to work on that 30 years later, and we've been working on that for like 2.5 years now, mm-hmm. and it just got renewed for season 3, which is awesome news. Just getting a chance to play Professor X as like one of the most iconic characters in the in the MCU is just very exciting. And
having big shoes to fill.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the big thing too. Is just like I wanted to make sure I did the voice justice, but also did that story justice mm-hmm. because. If you read the comics, you know how mm-hmm. he goes through a lot. You know, that character specifically goes through a lot of dark times. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like he's the glue that keeps the team together. But he's also kind of always sacrificing his own happiness for the betterment of the group. And I mean, I can't say anything more because I don't want to spoil it. But like, there's a lot of fun stuff happening.
What is
this season,
the funniest scenes that you worked on with Marvel?
Funniest?
Or like the, you've had the most fun doing?
Well, What If was great because like Ultron is just such a badass. I mean, he can just kind of do anything. And when I was reading the script for What If and I saw that he literally cuts Thanos in half with like in 2 seconds.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's amazing.
That's
like
awesome.
Sort of what a cool little like. Why didn't Thanos ever think about that? You know?
Yeah.
But like. Ultron is a supercomputer, right? He's a literal supercomputer that has the intellect of not only Tony Stark and Vision, but the entire known universe's knowledge at his fingertips and in his brain. So, of course, he's going to devise the most, you know, messed up ways of and diabolical ways of taking on everybody, you know? And I feel like that moment, you know what I'm talking about, by the
way?
Yes,
I am.
Yeah,
I do.
Like that was just the funniest thing ever, just to see him. Bisect Thanos
and
in the second.
I loved how they brought him back for What If, because What If has no rules. anything can happen.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. That's a great question. Thank you.
Thank
yeah.
you so much.
Thank you.
Hello. Sorry, welcome back.
No, sorry about that.
No, absolutely.
Just one question. Sure. You were saying something about the whole prank thing. So would you, I mean, like if you have had to do it over again, would you have ever done any of the the BB gun Home Alone prank to anybody?
The BB gun Home Alone, like shooting a gun at someone?
Like,
no.
The whole, like,
on purpose?
Or? No, like the whole, like, BB, like if they set it up to where you could do, like, the whole dog door BB gun thing, would you have done it?
To shoot one of my co-stars?
I mean...
probably not, because I don't you know, want to get was, thrown in jail.
I was wondering, and, was...
I'm sure you're following the news lately. But.
The only thing, I was wondering is, being that Sherwood Pictures is not that far off, would you ever think about working with the Kendrick Brothers?
I'm not sure what this is.
Fireproof?
Oh, okay.
Facing the Giants, Flywheel, no.
Yeah. Fireproof?
I was with Kirk Cameron and now it's Kendrick. I was wondering if you would ever consider like working with them.
Oh, I would. I don't know if these projects are, but yeah, right? Yeah, of course. I mean, but I hadn't heard about Fireproof. Oh, is that about the fireman who loses
saves his marriage?
Yeah, yeah. I think I did hear about that. Yeah, yeah. So yeah, is it based in Georgia then, or
It's over in Albany.
Oh, or Alabama or
Georgia?
Albany, Georgia. Gotcha. Okay, nice, nice. But yeah, the pranks, I didn't really take part in because like Norman and Andy were always messing with each other. And when Norman put glitter in Andy's car, as soon as he turned on the air conditioning, it just blew over his face. And I hate nothing more in the world than glitter.
Right.
I hate it so much. It just gets everywhere and it takes weeks to wash that off.
Yeah.
And once I saw that, I was like, I don't want to be a part of this. Like Andy and Norman were both trying to be like, you got to help me.
I was like,
I'm Switzerland here. I'm neutral on this. I'm not going to be a part of this. You know, no way. Yeah, yeah. So great question. Thanks, man.
Talk to us a little bit about that. Stepping into a project that has such a not only a wide, broad number of characters, an ensemble cast that's so strongly identified with those characters. What's it like being the new guy coming into that?
Well, that was the freakiest thing because, like, I was a fan of the show before I got on it, right? And I just finished watching season 4. I just caught up on it when I got the call for the audition for season 5.
Okay.
And I thought that was crazy timing because it was just, like, 2 weeks earlier that I finished it.
Yeah.
And, you know, you always want to work on one of your favorite shows, but I'll never forget the first day I got there. I was sweating like crazy, not just because it was the Georgia heat. Not just because it was a week after my birthday, 2014. It was August 29th. I remember exactly the day. I flew into Georgia sweating like crazy, and the first person I met was Rick, you know. And most people know this, but he's British, right? Yeah. And he does not drop character ever. Once he shows up on set, he's Rick Grimes. You know, he's like, hey, how you doing? And he comes right up to me. He gives me a big hug. He's like, welcome to the family. All right, we're good to have you here. And I was like, holy shit, you're Rick Grimes. Like, it was so bizarre. You know, it was such a strange, surreal moment to meet him. And then I met Abraham and Eugene and everyone else. And I was like, this is wild. But it really was trial by fire because not only am I meeting the group for the first time, that first episode that I was in the barn, you know, like they're interrogating me, they're all sizing me up, the entire cast, right? So it was very nerve-wracking.
Kind of felt true to life.
I was like, this is a real, like, it's a real trial by fire. And it was nerve-wracking, but it was also, it was great to start that way because once I got past the nerves and the jitters that first day, I felt totally fine. And they couldn't be more welcoming. And you did feel like it was a family vibe, you know. But the pressure to not be the guy that messes up your favorite show, to step up and act at the same level of quality as the rest of the actors, like, man, I've never felt pressure like that in my life, you know, and I'm just grateful that they gave me so much to do over those 8 years because, you know, I think it's great that he started as kind of this, you know, very diplomatic, nice guy who, you know, was a good fighter, but like, you know, as time went on, he became a hardened badass. And then, of course, when he loses his arm, he just becomes kind of a psycho killer, which was a lot of fun to play, you know. Right. So, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
My name's Monty.
Hey.
I have a question. What is it like an actor to play a character like Red Skull, knowing that some, not saying like you're a great actor, but the levels of actors, that played a role. Like, I know the previous actor played in Lord of the Rings. Matrix. Did you feel any pressure, or do you actors, like, you just feel pressure from, I don't want to F this up because someone ahead of me was more famous or whatever?
Yeah, it's got to be kind of like the Professor X situation, right?
Yeah,
stepping
into
a role. And
oh, yeah. I mean, when Ultron, too. It's funny. Yeah. Like, I'm kind of the guy that they call when they can't get the original to come back. they're like
voice match, get Ross on speed dial.
Yeah. They're like, we couldn't get Hugo or James Spader or Cedric Smith, so you want to do it? I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll try. But the pressure, luckily, on that one, the Walking Dead was more pressure because I knew what I was getting into. With Infinity War and Endgame, they didn't tell me what the project was. So they just told me it was a Hugo Weaving voice match. And I was like, okay, I've never tried, but I'll give it a whirl. And I said, which Hugo Weaving are we talking about? Because he's Australian, but he's the master of accents. Like, the guy can do every freaking accent, right? Matrix, he's American, obviously. Mm-hmm. In Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, he's Australian. In Lord of the Rings, he's kind of a British affectation. But, like, I didn't know which Hugo they wanted. And they said, well, we'll send you a sound clip and just go off of that. And of course, it was from First Avenger. I was like, oh, so like a German Hugo Weaving? They're like, yeah. I mean,
we're not going to say that.
Yeah. Yes. And I was like, okay.
There you
and
go.
I did it for, I worked on it for a few days, sent it in, didn't hear anything for like a month almost. We had just finished filming season 7 of The Walking Dead. I had flown from Atlanta to LA and I was in my taxi home and my manager called and she said, hey, you booked that Hugo Weaving voice match thingy. And I was like, oh, cool. All right. What is the project? And she's like, I don't know, but you're still in Georgia, right? And I was like, no, I just got back to LA. She's like, oh, you got to go back right now because they're filming tomorrow. They said, we're filming tomorrow morning. And I was like, shit. So, and it was like, I think it was like 3 or 4 in the afternoon already by that point. So I said, oh my God. So I asked the taxi to drive me right back. I booked a flight on the way there. And I think my flight was at like 9 or 10 at night. Oh, obviously, no. Flew the entire night, showed up.
Losing time zones.
Of course. You're losing 3 hours. And I get there, you know, bleary-eyed. I hadn't slept all night. And I show up, and I had been studying the lines, but it was all coded. It's all secret.
Oh, geez.
You know, they don't give you the real lines, right? And I get to the stage, and I'm thinking it's just going to be in a recording booth because it's a voice matching job. And there's like 100 and some people waiting for me, and I'm like, well, this is more than I thought it was going to be. And then they put me in the motion capture suit, and I was like, okay, this is not legit Kansas anymore. Film. Like, what are you all doing in here? And the makeup guy who's putting the dots on my face, because you have to put on the head camera and everything, he goes, you have no idea what we're working on, do you? I was like,
nope.
They haven't told me shit. And he's like, this is the new Avengers. And I was like, oh. I'm going to go to the bathroom. So I didn't have time to freak out, is my point, you know? And I think it's kind of great that I didn't have time, because if I had known this was going to be the new Avengers and two of the highest grossing, biggest films in the world, I probably would have lost my mind, you know? But that was the cool thing. I just, like, kind of went to the bathroom, freaked out a little bit. I was like, did some deep breathing. I was like, okay. Let's go. Let's do it, you know? And then went there, and luckily I didn't have to work with Josh and Zoe because they'd already filmed their portion, so that pressure was taken off me a little bit. And, you know, it's amazing that they can take all that data from those motion capture outfits, all of it's fitted with computer chips, right?
Yeah.
And they can just put that into a computer, take the camera from your face, and all the expression you do, all the, you know, blinking and everything else, they can just take that and put it into a computer, take off my nose, make my skin red, put a cloak on me. Like, none of that was there. Vormir was a room like this. It literally did not exist.
Green screen.
Until the computer guys got their hands on it. So, pretty wild. Yeah.
Good question.
Thank you.
Yeah. You've played in a lot of genres. And again, knowing kind of a fanboy growing up and stuff, is there any particular genre or any medium that you would love to get into? That you haven't had that opportunity yet, but you would love to?
I mean, I've voiced Han Solo a few times now, but I'd really love to do an original character in Star Wars. Like, that was... Star Wars and Marvel were my childhood, you know? And if I could play in any playground, that would be it. I'd want to do a new character, though.
Right.
Like someone that no one's done before. Because I feel like no matter what you do... I mean, I feel bad for the gentleman who played Han Solo...
Alden,
yeah. Because everyone was like, oh, it's not like Harrison. It's like, well, of course it's not, you know?
Yeah.
He's got his own little flair. I thought he did a great job, but... you know, everyone's going to be comparing you to what came before. And I think if I was going to play in that world, I would love to do something totally fresh and new, you know? Yeah. Yeah.
So. Any other questions? Because we do have to wrap up shortly.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah.
No, you're fine. Gotcha. Yeah, come on up. Cool, come on up.
Yeah. Sorry, yeah, yeah.
Since you're talking about... Oh, wait.
No, yeah, go ahead.
Since you're talking about Star Wars, would you... What would you like to play as, a Jedi or a Sith?
Well, there's this character that I keep hearing about who's both.
Hmm.
Do you guys know what I'm talking about? No, not Skywalker. He's a new character who's in the fan fiction. And I'm blanking on his name, but someone told me about him. Revan? Revan.
Yeah. Hmm.
Darth Revan. Okay. And I think he's kind of flip-flop between Jedi and Sith, and he goes back and forth a little bit. Ooh. That sounds like a badass character. Jeez.
What this place is going. It is haunted.
What the hell?
Okay.
Okay.
Are you
yeah,
doing
this
that?
Is definitely. Yeah. It's,
this is. I don't know what to say. It's an old ironworks building.
It's
maybe
funny.
The ghost of some ironworkers, like, I want to be in Star Wars too.
Yeah, like, I agree.
I don't know what that is, but.
This happened when I did the spoiler thing, by the way. Sorry
about
that.
Yeah,
and
I
then
think it's you. You're the problem.
It's just like, what the?
You are lights guy.
I just come here. I was like, what the hell?
Yeah, that's wild.
Yeah, I know, right?
Okay.
What?
That's pretty strange. Yeah,
yeah, I know.
But yeah,
right?
I'd say Darth Revan would be my choice. Yeah. Yeah.
Also, would you actually do any voice, like video game stuff? Like voice?
Yeah. I do quite a bit. Working on one right now that I can't talk about.
That's fine.
But I did a lot of Bloodlit Battlefield Hardline. I was going to say Bloodline. So that was a lot of fun to do. I've done a bunch since then, but Battlefield Hardline I did like 27 different voices for, and that was just a blast. I mean, like, you know, anything from like Russian thugs to, you know, police officers all over the place. And that was just because you work on it for 2.5 years most of the time. You're recording nonstop, and then you get to see the game and you're playing it, and it just... It seems so seamless, but like it takes so many hours and hours of recording from all these different actors to make that happen, you know?
Yeah. You know, it's actually funny that you're doing Marvel and Kyrie Payton, who does the voice of Cyborg, is DC, which is hilarious.
Yeah, yeah.
So is there any character would you like to play as for Marvel or DC?
Ooh.
That you've not played yet.
I mean,
yes.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
So I used to say Moon Knight because that was one of my
favorite. Oh, yeah,
that would
be cool.
I got bad
course,
news
Oscar.
For you.
Yeah, I know. Oscar rocked that role, too.
Yeah, he did.
Did a
yes,
great
he
job.
Did.
But I would say Omega Red.
Oh, yes.
That's
that would be
one
awesome.
Wolverine villain that just never got his time.
Yeah.
Which
Ooh.
I don't know why. Because, like, Sabretooth's a good villain. I don't
yes,
yeah. rip on Sabretooth. But Omega Red's way more badass.
Especially and in the X-Men and the 90s, he was a total badass.
Yeah.
Even when Wolverine... didn't know what's going on, but the moment he found out, he's like, oh, he's pissed.
Yeah, yeah. I just think his powers were amazing. So if you don't know who Omega Red is, he's kind of like Russia's answer to Wolverine.
Right.
And he's just such a badass. Like, I just think he's one of the most interesting and well-written characters in the MCU. So I'd definitely say Omega Red. Plus, I love to play villains, you know, so yeah.
Yeah.
I hope you do get the chance to play that character. Please, I hope you do, man.
Thanks.
Take it easy, man.
Other questions? We have time for maybe one, maybe two more at the most.
Oh,
yeah, come on up.
Yeah. Hello.
Hello.
How you doing?
That looks heavy.
That looks heavy, yeah.
Hello there.
Hi.
Hello.
So you say you voiced Han Solo and things before, right?
Yeah, yeah.
What shows?
Phineas and Ferb, right?
Phineas and Ferb Star Wars special, the Lego Star Wars, and then this video game called Trials of Tatooine.
Oh, nice.
Where you're like a young Jedi Padawan and... Harris or Han is like kind of giving you some pointers, like, hey kid, don't get cocky, put on that lightsaber, I know what you're up to. Oh. You know, stuff like, it's like, you know, young Harrison. I'm used to playing more angry older Harrison Ford with the finger waving, like, get off of my plane, you know, like, I don't care what you smell, you big dumb oaf, you know, like stuff like that. But I love playing younger Harrison because it's a bit of a stretch for me, you know. So yeah.
Oh yeah, because I remember watching like the Yoda Chronicles cartoon, like the Lego one, and then they kind of had that like reoccurring joke of like Han and Yoda like being buddies, from like an even older Lego Star Wars TV special.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was.
Yeah, I love the Lego world. What they've done with the movies and the TV shows, like, as a kid who used to play with Legos all the time,
right?
I anything they put out, I'm gonna consume. I'm like, I love it all. Like, it's just all good, you know.
So, and they can play with it, right?
It's
like it's not serious. It's like we can goof around. We can all of a sudden stop for a disco dance break or whatever, you know.
And I love that those fandoms or those universes that have allowed them to play with like MCU or Star Wars or whatever. They're just like, they give Lego free reign to just do whatever you want to do.
Yeah, because
just have fun with it, you know. So.
I mean, that's a magical Legos, because that means, like, let's say, for example, if I wanted, like, Shadow the Hedgehog in the Millennium Falcon with Iron Man, I can do that.
Exactly.
So. Yeah, I hated that their Lego, the video game thing where they had all the different IPs that it never really kind of caught.
It was
kind of
didn't hear about
that. Is it kind of the end of that, like, you know, you have a figure, but it's got the RFC and you set it on and you're in the game. And
I didn't know
they did a Lego version. Yeah, it was mostly Warner Brothers property. So you're like, and they had Doctor Who, Harry Potter, Wizard of Oz, I think. Lord of the Rings. But it never really caught, which is sad like you said, you can play in those worlds. And,
yeah.
Have some fun.
Yeah,
because it's weird how Marvel and Star Wars, two of their biggest properties, didn't get into Lego Dimensions because it was made by Warner Brothers.
Right.
Yep.
That's corporate politics.
That's above my pay grade. I don't know. Yeah.
Corporate, am I right?
Yeah.
Yep.
You know what?
Yep.
The mouse has been good to you though, right? The mouse treats you well.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank y'all.
Thank you very much. The Crow, nice. One of my favorite.
The good movie, not the new one that's come out.
None of us have seen it yet.
Give it a shot. You never know. You never know.
The Jared Leto Joker version coming soon.
Right. I do see a lot of comparisons to that. And I'll tell you this, though. Bill's a great actor. So I feel like if anyone's going to rock that role, it's going to be him. But is he playing Eric Draven or is he playing
It's unfortunately Eric Draven.
Yeah, which is weird because there's so many different crew. Yeah.
There's so many different areas they could have went with that one.
All right. I'll give it a shot.
Besides Red Skull and everything else, if you could play in Professor X, if you could play any role in the Marvel Universe above anything else, who would you choose?
Well, other than Omega Red, there was honestly a character I loved as a kid named Slapstick, who probably most of you never heard of him.
I know who he is.
You know Slapstick? Nice. He was big in Deadpool in the early 90s.
Yeah.
So basically, he was a cartoon character within the animated world where a cartoonist creates this indestructible character named Slapstick who has a giant mallet like Harlequin, and you can't kill him. He's zany. He's got magenta hair. Like, he's out of control. He's like this crazy, like, clown-looking thing. And I just felt like it would be so much fun to voice him and make it like a Who Framed Roger Rabbit type of jam.
Like
if they ever did Deadpool 4, I would love to see Slapstick as an animated character with Deadpool going doing stuff. I think it'd be amazing.
With a live action.
Yeah. So,
thank you.
Of course, thank you.
I love the fact that you still say Harlequin. Nobody else does it. You and I, it's like...
As opposed to...
Because you said, you're like, big mouth like Harlequin.
Oh, yeah.
It's like everybody else, yeah.
Yeah,
no, it's Harlequin. Trust me.
Oh,
it's not Harley Quinn. It's Harlequin.
Oh, dude, that's supposed to say Harley Quinn?
No, that's what I'm saying. We're the last of the dying breed that still holds out.
It's from Batman animated series.
Exactly.
Like,
that
was how I always pronounce with Kevin and Mark. So I guess it just stuck in our heads. Yeah.
That's us old men can do that.
Yes.
That's all, folks.
This show has been brought to you by the Pop Goes the Culture Podcast Network. Find links to all of our podcasts and more at popgoestheculture.com.
Pop Goes the Culture is a VX5 Events partner. Find links to the entire Pop Goes the Culture Podcast Network and more at popgoestheculture.com.